At 3 a.m., he woke. He turned the radio on and found a Mexican station out of Las Vegas, and Los Tigres del Norte played Contrabando y Traición. It was a tune he knew well, and in the polka sound of the accordion, he tried to breathe and disappear into the song's story, a corrido about a couple, a man and woman, who sneak drugs across a U.S. border. They drive to Los Angeles and sell the drugs, get the money, and don't get caught. They win. But the man tells the woman he's leaving her, that he has another girlfriend in the States, a girlfriend who is his true love. The woman is so blindsided and devastated that she shoots the man, takes the money, and runs. By the time the song ended, Al was wide awake, and his mind fell to the darkness that had plagued him each night at that time for as long as he could remember. He had heard that if you didn't have a job, if you were alone and at home, the suicide hour was 2 p.m., the middle of the day, hours before night and the relief of sleep, a time of heat and exhaustion in the summer, and lethargy and loneliness in the winter. But for Al, the suicide hour had always been 3 a.m., the night prison, he called it. His second wife, Maxine, had told him that when the night prison found her, she would force herself to get up and either watch TV or go to the kitchen and eat. She told him that nothing good came from staying in bed and having darkness lead you down one hall and then another and another until you were lost. But Al knew thinking of Maxine was only another room in his night prison. So he lit the bedside lantern. He put on his tennis shoes and headlamp and went outside to find the sky clear and blanketed with stars. He made two trips for wood, started a fire, and put on water for coffee. He changed into his Levi's and Pendleton shirt, put the rings on his fingers, and sat at the table with his guitar, a notebook, and a cup of coffee. He worked on a half-finished song called The Night Buck Owens Came to Town. In the right corner of the page, he had written 14-14-14, Pontiac Grand Prix, 1959-60, and Me and Mom in the Kitchen. At 14, Al was 6'3" tall, his hair jet black, and his eyes light blue. His face was dotted with acne, and he weighed 113 pounds. His body was his constant embarrassment. Just undressing in PE revealed to all the rivers of blue veins under his skin and the bones of his skeletal frame. 14 was also the year he experienced his first prolonged mental anguish over the death of his Uncle Vern. Within a week of hearing the news, he became paralyzed in a sort of panic fit that wouldn't abate. He couldn't sleep and had no appetite or energy. Vern had been not only his uncle, but also his best friend and only confidant. His mother had refused to talk about her brother, so Al never told her or anyone how broken he was by the loss, or admitted the panic and sadness that followed his uncle's death. 14 was also the year his mother's part-time boyfriend, Herb Marks, stopped in front of the duplex in a white Pontiac Grand Prix